I pray for our region, Lord. I pray for it, these waters, that the waters miraculously recede around those whole great lakes. I mean, there are so many, I know there's so many people in trouble fighting the elements right now, Lord. I pray this week, it looks pretty good weather-wise, Lord, that no rain, a lot of sun. I pray there's just a miraculous evaporation of water over these great lakes and rivers and streams, Father God. There's nothing, no one who can do this but you, Lord God. We turn to you as a very present help in our trouble. And we just ask you to move on the people's behalf in these Great Lakes region, Lord God. You move these waters up. People might think that's a crazy idea, but no one else can do it but you. And we ask you to help people through thousands and thousands of people around the region, Lord, who are fighting these things. I think we'll hear more and more and more, not only people, but communities, Lord God. Their worlds washed out, bridges, so forth, all these things. Seawalls, so many things. Marinas, everything just changed within a few months. So, Father, we just ask your mighty hand to move across these areas. Give relief to the people. Evaporate this water, Lord. Get the water out of here in Jesus' name. Father, we just thank you. We thank you that Jesus, what he did for us, but he didn't go back to heaven. He left the Holy Spirit. He sent the Holy Spirit here to be with us on this earth and to be with every one of us. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for being with us, for guiding us, for directing us, giving us wisdom, and taking care of us. Infiltrate us today, Holy Spirit, I pray, in this sanctuary. Just fill the sanctuary with your glory. Help us to feel that, to feel your glory in this place, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to
read a couple Psalms today. And the first one is going to be Psalms 46. God is the refuge of his people and the conqueror of nations. God is our refuge and strength in the very presence and help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and through the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swellings. There is a river whose streams shall be glad, make glad the city of God, and the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations rage. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. And I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us, and God of Jacob is our refuge. And the other psalm, I would like to read is Psalms 124. The Lord, the defense of his people. If I had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord been on our side. When men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters would have overwhelmed us, and the streams would have gone over our souls. Then the swollen waters would have gone over our souls. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowler.
Amen.
And the snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, and Father, ask me to bless your word this morning and bless the people that are here and bless the people who are not here, Lord. Father, have your mighty hand upon this message today in Jesus' name. I felt this was a powerful message about the river. And most of the time I finish what the Lord has for me to say, because most of the time when I get back up here, I truthfully don't even know where I left off. And I just really want you to really study Joshua. And as my son reminded me over and over again, he goes, Mom, he says, you know, keep on reading that. It was Joshua 1, 9 through 11. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Verse 10, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provision for yourself. For within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan. Do go in to possess the land with the Lord your God, what God is giving to you. Oh, I didn't read that right. I'm sorry. I want to read it exactly. To go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And I think that is so important, because either you can stay where you're at, you can get in his presence and move as he wants you to move. And we talked about that. We talked about the river of grace, the river of mercy. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for that every day. I'm thankful even when I blow it, he's there to forgive me and to move on. The one thing that I talked about last Sunday was that when you got over in the promised land, just because you got over in the promised land, didn't make it, everything was going to be easy. What he wanted everybody to realize is you had to know your position and what you were to do. And sometimes I remember when I was very young, it's like, oh, I like that position or that gift that that person had. And, you know, I wish I'd had that gift and things like that. But you know what the Lord taught me as I got older and got more mature in his word is that every one of us have something to do. Each one of us have different giftings, and we're to use those and stand in those and use them to the best of our ability. And truthfully, when we don't know what to do, pray, and the Holy Spirit will give us the guidance and direction we know. And one of the things that I really admired that my husband said yesterday when the storms were really raging, I mean literal storms, and the yard was flooding, Joe and I prayed, had a little fear about this and that. I saw Joe going up and down the steps, wandering, doing different things. But you know, we came back upstairs and we just prayed. We did our part, prayed, and left it with God. And that sounds so simple, but you have to have enough trust and enough faith that he's going to take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we had to do to really have peace. And so when I was looking at this, discovering your position, one of the scriptures that I talked about was Romans 12, 3 through 4 last Sunday. And it says, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of yourself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly as God has dealt with each one a measure of faith. I think if I ever met a preacher that preached the best sermons I ever heard on faith, that was Wendell Temple.
Amen.
Because he really believed that faith was the answer, and trusting him and praying and standing when you didn't understand. So many times, even last night, I was sitting there thinking about how he talked about that. And I give him credit because he heard so much of that from the Lord, to have faith. But the Lord kept on saying to me, do we know our position? That when we get over into whatever the Lord has for us to do in that promised land, that we have to have a relationship with God, because we have to hear his voice. And you have to know what he wants you to do. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I kind of, the human side of me just wants to say, I'm done with this, I don't want to do this, or, I don't think I can do this. And you know what I've learned is, once I die to myself, the Lord will guide and direct. But it's like, I have to be willing to surrender. Amen. We all have to be willing to surrender ourselves and our emotions.
Amen.
And one of the things that I also talked about is that it's all about his kingdom. It is, what are we doing for the kingdom of God? The first person that I ever spoke with that talked about the kingdom of God was Pastor J.R. Stevens. And he said to me, Marie, he says, just keep on doing God's work for the kingdom. And I never had anybody ever say that to me when we moved up north here. And what I found was, it was all about that kingdom. It was all about bringing as many souls as we could into the kingdom, praying for them, talking to them. And in John 12:26, it says, if anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. Did you hear that? Wherever he is, when we are his servant, when we are his child, we are there with him doing his work. If anyone serves me, that's Jesus Christ, it honors the Father of heaven. I think it's hard for all of us humans that are here in this room to think that God wanted to have a relationship, to have a fellowship with us. He could do everything. He created everything. And I don't know about you, but it really humbled me to think that, hey, he wanted to spend time with me. That I was more than a conqueror. That I was his daughter. And I want to say the same thing to you. You need to know who you are in Christ. That's what I said last Sunday. And his divine power, it is amazing when we realize how powerful he is. And the power that he has is in us as well. One thing that I wrote down here was that we were more than conquerors in him. We are only successful because of him. He allows me to come up here and preach. He allows me to come up here and sing. But when that anointing is, you're just taken, and I wish I could give that to everybody. It is so wonderful to be so taken. A couple times in the songs I got so taken, I thought, I better compose myself, because I'm just going to fly away with them. And truthfully, everybody who has had an out-of-the-body experience, died, went up to heaven, spent time up there, there was so much love up there and warmth up there that nobody wanted to come back home. But if it wasn't your time to die, then we've got things to do here on earth. And the first thing that we have to realize is that we are conquerors. And that's Romans 8:37, and that was from last Sunday. I also wrote, we sang the song about the battle. I told you it was an old song, but the battle is the Lord's. And the important thing is that we can be triumphant. We can be successful. I mean, even when David woke up one time and all of his army was gone, all of a sudden the Lord sent angels, opened up the heavens so he could see all the angels that was fighting with him. I don't know about you, that's powerful to me. that when everybody is gone, we know that the Lord will send angels to guide us, direct us. So we're triumphant in Him. That was 2 Corinthians 2:14. I mentioned that last Sunday. And then I stand on this one a lot. It says, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I don't know about you guys, but sometimes my strength gets zapped. I told you ever since I had this last bout of pneumonia, it just seems like I'm getting stronger. And then other days it seems like I go further behind. Then I just press through. I anoint my bed. I anoint myself. I anoint my legs. I anoint me every day. I put on that full armor of God. And even before Joe and I step in this church, we anoint ourselves so it's not of us. It's Him. So one of the things I want to tell you is that He gives us strength beyond our understanding. This is our position in Christ from which we are to operate. We are to know who we are. And another thing that I put down here too and spoke just, I think, briefly of it is that we have to know God's purposes and His will for us today. That's 2 Timothy 1:9. If you want to turn to it, it's fine. I know sometimes I don't have time. It's up to you. But it says, who has saved us? And who has called us? With a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His purposes and His grace, which was given by Christ Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but that says a lot, because there's many, many religions that believe that the more work you do for Christ, the faster you're going to get to heaven. And it's no joke. I couldn't believe it. I made a comment in the office about the word says that we are like filthy rags. Everything that we do should be to glorify Him. We can't work our way into heaven. We can't be the goody-two-shoes that most of us wish we were. We have to constantly die of ourselves. There's a game plan. I love that. You know, when I watched some of the war movies, my generation wasn't in the war. My husband's generation went, but he was just a kid. And I love to see the strategy table where you can plan things and do things and what's your next move. And I was so amazed to find out that God was a game player. He tells us which way to go, what we should do, the timing of it. It's just whether we can humble ourselves enough and listen to what He wants us to do. And I love this. I really believe this. If I speak to the younger kids, I like to tell them that it's all about God and His glory. He's coming in His glory. And kids do not understand that. Adults do not understand that. The earth shall be filled with His glory through His body. What exceeding greatness and power that we can have when we can understand the glory of the Lord. You know what amazes me is that we have Christ's body. Our body is supposed to be pure. That's why we have to constantly bathe in Him, bathe in the anointing oil, bathe, plead the blood on us, because truthfully, we are never pure within ourselves. I wrote down here too that His truth shall establish in the church. To be honest with you, most people don't want to hear the truth. They want you to pat them on the back, have a great day. You're a conqueror, you're more than this. But truthfully, the truth, the word is the truth. And only the truth can set us free. Man's words cannot set us free. Men's compliments cannot set us free. The only person that can set us free is Jesus Christ. And really, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit is here. He's here today. I can feel Him. I can feel angels around me strengthening me. And I just want you to know that deep down inside, that we are to be that great army. We are to be united. We are to be one. Not all believe in the same thing. Only the people who are part of God's army is for one purpose, and one purpose only, and that's Jesus Christ. Nothing else. So this is where I left off. Let God's purpose and perspective fill your heart. Where is that in the Word? In Ephesians 1, 17 through 19, it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. That was my prayer for Rita Temple. Rita, may God give you wisdom. May God reveal to you what you don't understand, but He will guide you and direct you and show you what to do. The eyes of our understanding have to be enlightened, and they can only be enlightened by Jesus Christ. And they are only enlightened when you know the hope of His calling for your life. And what are the riches of His glory, of His inheritance to the saints, is to have the greatness of His power towards believing in that mighty power. That's what it says in Ephesians 1, 17 through 19. So what does it mean? It means God desires all of us that are sitting here today to have eyes of our understanding would be opened up to the hope of our calling. Everything about our hope and calling is related in some way to His purpose and will here on earth. I don't know about you, sometimes I question it. Lord, what am I supposed to be doing? I know I was called at a very young age, and women didn't seem to be allowed to preach the Word of God because of man's laws. And so that was fine with me. So I just went into teaching, spent time talking about the Lord for 33 years, and set up programs for junior high and high school and a few elementary buildings. Even called the local pastors in to pray for kids for guidance and direction. We ought to be on our knees praying for kids for guidance and direction for what's out there today. God's desire is for all of us to know our calling. It's the same way that I feel that a football player needs to spend time getting to know the game plan. As I spoke last Sunday, Joe had this clipboard and it had soccer plays and stuff like that. And same thing with football players. I noticed a quarterback, my brother was a quarterback, and he used to have this little wristband or something like that, and he had all these plays inside of it. You know, he could look at them. Couldn't memorize them all, that's what he told me. And I also noticed on TV that many, coaches, they say game plans, and they have those ear dealies on, or they hear things up in the box. So God has a plan just like that, too. And either you do what God asks you to do, or truthfully, He moves on. And I wrote down here that in God's game plan, we have to be positioned. You might want to be a preacher up here at this pulpit, but if God has not called you to be a preacher at this pulpit, He's not going to open the doors for you to be up here. You might want to be on the praise and worship team. That's ushering in His presence. But if God didn't want you to be up here, you're not going to last very long. Because all this has been dedicated to the Lord. So if your own personal righteousness is going to step up here like you know it all, you're going to be in big trouble because then the anointing isn't on you. And you have another plan of God. We have to have a heart of faith and expectancy. I think throughout the Word of God, if I may say this, I believe that Jesus encouraged his disciples to have faith and to believe all things were possible even in the most difficult times. I tried to find a scripture in that, and I did, and it was Mark 9, verse 23, and it says, Jesus said to them, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. So if you have enough faith to believe, it's going to happen. Might not be your timing, but his timing. But this is what the Lord impressed on me, was that we have to expect God to move supernaturally in all of our lives. And it takes faith and expectancy and the big thing, commitment. The people that are here are in obedience and commitment to the Lord, and he knows. And the ones who are not here are not committed. I'm not saying things don't come up, but to be committed, you have to pay the price. And the price is to do what he asks you to do. Sometimes certain possessions are just sweet and nice that he wants you to do. And other times it's aggressive. Other times it's making you move when you don't want to move. Sometimes it makes you get up at 7:30 in the morning when you'd rather sleep. And he goes, wake up. It seems like on Sundays I don't even have to set my alarm anymore. I just get up. And when the Lord gives us something to do, we have to execute it. And I do believe this. I really do believe this. That when we do it to the best of our ability, the Lord comes alongside of us and helps us. If he knows it's not about us, but about him. So I wrote down here to do your part, me to do my part. And the other thing I put down here is that you have to have divine encounters. You need to be able to hear his voice. Not man's, hear his. The other thing I'd like to just talk briefly about is don't allow wounds and disappointments of life to take you out of the game. Wow, that's powerful, isn't it? I think of how many times I've been wounded. I think if you're in leadership, you're going to get wounded a lot. But it's what you do with it. Do you open your mouth up and be nasty back? Or do you open up your mouth with the love of Jesus Christ? I got a, what I would call a nasty email from someone. And my family, I was devastated. I cried, I weeped. Can't believe I got something like this. I kind of tipped off. And what the Lord said was to answer that person's email back with, thank you for the compliment. I'm moving forward with it. And truthfully, I just want to tell that person where to fly. I mean, let's get honest here. I mean, how many times do you have to get shoved in the ground before you do something about it? And this is what the Lord said to me. Get your attitude right, man. Pray about it. Reach out to the people that I tell you to reach out to. It'll get accomplished. And I'll send my angels to guide and direct you. They'll be with you. I don't know about you, but I find finally got my attitude right and I wrote that letter, it shut that spirit up. Number two, I found things that I totally forgot about. Lord reminded me where they were at. And number three, the Lord gave me different people that supported me. They really did, they verbally say they support me, but they never do. And so I knew that that was from the Lord. So what I had to realize for myself is when I put that down, it wasn't just for you guys sitting here today, it was for myself. Not to allow disappointment to take you out of the game. What I discovered is, you know, like when athletes get hurt and they get injured at some time or another and the doctors are there, a good athlete will go through rehabilitation and physical therapy and get back in the game. Ooh, I've read that a couple times. So you go to the doctor, you go and get this help, and you get this taken care of, and you better get back in the game. And I remember one time someone pierced me, I guess. I sang this song one time at church, and this person came up, and they didn't like the words. Well, it was from the Word, so, hey, you know, I think it was an attack from the enemy, I don't know. And I was, oh, that was it. I was just done. Oh, I can't believe someone said that to me. So I didn't have my emotions in order. So I prayed for that person, and I went to my pastor, and she said to me, Maureen, let it go. Give it to God and get back up there on that stage. I said, well, that was very cold of you to talk to me like that. Isn't that sound like some of us? Get back up there. I don't want to get back up there. That's what the Lord expects us to do, get back in the game. Don't let those wounds take you so far that you look at the jobs that he wanted you to get done and never got done. Another thing that the Lord showed me was that when we're doing life, and we're doing his ministry, we get banged up at times. He also said that the trials of life that steal our joy and our passion, and we begin to lose our passion, we begin to get careless, and we get to a point that we just don't care no more. The Lord says, get back in the game. So when we're doing our position and doing what we're supposed to do in this promised land, the Lord says, let those wounds go, give them to me. I heal the scars and I don't put on a temporary bandage. I heal them. Get back in the game. Oh Lord, was Paul's cry, oh that I might finish the race. He got banged up a lot, probably more than any of us have ever gotten banged up. So the Lord says, what is your perspective? Does your perspective allow you to continue to move forward in God's purposes and destiny for your life? Or do you allow them to rage against you because you can't handle them? Truthfully, none of us can handle the problems that we have. You know, Peter had a good reason to wallow and sulk in his misery and his defeat. He denied the Lord Jesus Christ three times. We just brushed that off. Hey, we know the story. But when you really love someone and you're not there for them, and you've denied them over and over and over again, and you were the one that knew them, it's deep. In fact, I was ministering to a person who doesn't even go to church here, and bitterness was beginning to set in her heart for all the truthful things in this life that was held towards her. And I said, don't let bitterness set in. That was easy for me to say, hey, don't let bitterness set in. But you know what I went through? Blah, 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 blah. Yep, I do. But the Bible says, don't let bitterness step in on you. Because what happens is you become wounded and you become destroyed and you can't pray for that person. We're only visitors here, people. My kids chuckle at that. But we are just visitors. This is not our home. And it says that Peter went out and he wept and he wept and he wept. There's nothing wrong with crying. I think I've cried more this year than I ever have. And when we weep, and when we die of ourselves, and when we surrender, it is amazing how the Lord surrounds us powerfully and re-shows us, refocuses his vision and his purpose for each one of us. Excuse me. You see, Peter, Paul, they were in perfect position with divine appointments. You might not think that you're doing much here at the church, but you know what, Karen? If you didn't do the praise and worship here, who would? And Vicki, if you didn't do the sound in the back, who would? And my Joe, if you didn't get out of your comfort zone and play those drums, who would? You see, when we are positioned, it can even be for a season, but it's a divine position, a divine appointment. You see, what was amazing was that Peter ushered in the birth of the New Testament church. He preached the first sermon that nettled over 3,000 converts. He powerfully stood up to the religious leaders in the midst of persecution and mockery. If you're not being mocked, if you're not being persecuted, are you doing much at the enemy's gate? It says here that he was delivered from prison. People were healed as he walked by. He was the first of the disciples to raise someone from the dead. He was used to bring the Gentile believers into the church. The part that always, when I was young, to think about it, he was crucified upside down. When you study how the disciples really died, it'll shake you real good. He finished his course, just like how Wendell Temple finished his course, with faith and passion, even when he blew it. We're to do the same. So sometimes it deals with our attitude, but we all have to do our part, and we have to allow God to take those wounds and those hurts and heal them. In Hebrews 12:12-13, it says, therefore strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. And make straight path for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. So, the conclusion I feel that the Lord is allowing me to give is this. God is wanting to do great things in all of our lives. But we have to be willing to put on that armor of light every day. And we have to be willing to do the Father's business. He wants to use us and bless us more so that we can comprehend and do his work as he has it planned out for all of us. So we must be positioned in the promised land. Is that not good? Amen. I was looking at this in this book that I was reading to my job. And it says, angels will always go before us to open the doors for us. Exodus 23:20. God told Moses and his people, just as they were about to leave the land of Egypt and go to the promised land, behold, I send an angel before thee. An angel, one angel, to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. My prayer for everyone, and especially for Hilltop Tabernacle, is the Lord has a plan and a purpose, and right now he's trying to set us all in order. But we need to pray. We need to have decrees in his name, and we have to align our life with his word. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So, Father, I've done the best that I could. And I ask that your word will speak to each one of us that are here today, Lord. May we be obedient to you. May we do what you want us to do, Lord. Speak to us. Open our ears to hear. Guide and direct us, Father, in the direction that we use of us. Move upon your people, Father, there are your people. Relieve this heaviness that's been upon Joe and I for quite some time. Father, there are your people. Holy Spirit, stir them, move them. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Say something, you know, John and I always pray about the offering, you know, and different things that we have to pay. We had someone that blessed us and blessed this church, and so we got some bills paid.
Amen.
And that was exciting. And when I told Joe that, of course, we want big things, but some of the bills were a little less than what was expected.
And hallelujah.
Sometimes it might have been by a couple dollars. Sometimes it might have been for $20. But we still give the Lord credit because it's his doing. And for some reason, as we seek his face, he's going to keep on guiding us. And he's still keeping this place going, which we know is his aim, which is no other way. We had a good offering, I think it was last week, or maybe the week before. I waited a couple weeks to put it together. And so I'm thankful. I think everything will be paid probably this Monday. So I give the Lord glory for that.
Amen.
Sure. Yeah.
Amen.